Welcome to Media Hotshots, a series of interviews with some of the most celebrated editors in lifestyle, fashion, beauty, and interiors media today. All of the editors interviewed in this series subscribe to PR Shots and Press Area, and the majority of those have said that they heavily rely on its service in order to make their jobs easier. Therefore, the opportunity for you and your brands to gain more coverage into their pages is made all the more possible, and this series of interviews is aimed at not only celebrating their lives, but to help provide you with some golden nuggets that, if used, could make you a complete hero. So welcome to this episode in which we're interviewing Michelle Martin and discussing her journey to and since becoming production editor and fashion and beauty editor for the Irish Daily Star and Star Chic magazines. We'll also be discussing the size of her team and how they work creatively, the lead times for both the Irish Daily Star and Chic magazine, how to get her attention as a PR and a brand and how not to, three things that PRs do that she loves and three things that she doesn't love so much, what she's covering at the moment, the changes that she's experienced in the industry in general and also as a result of COVID, and how PR Shots and Press Area has helped. And also she'll be giving us her predictions for the media industry as a whole, as well as the beauty and fashion industry. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome our third brilliant editor. As I say, it's Michelle Martin, production editor, fashion and beauty editor for the Irish Daily Star and Star Chic magazines, which I understand is the biggest weekly newspaper magazine for women in Ireland. Is that right?
Yes, the weekly magazine that comes with the Star on a Saturday.
Wow, what a great accolade. And with over 20 years experience in publishing, including 5 years as senior designer at Ireland's largest publishing agency, Ashfield Media Group, Michelle has worn a number of different hats over the years, including layout designer, art director and journalist. She's been with the Irish Daily Star now for nearly 10 years and covers all things fashion, beauty and interiors related, as well as managing the social media presence of Chic magazine. So welcome, Michelle, and thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. A couple of nice little compliments there in the intro. I'll take that.
And so you should do. So it's all well deserved. Because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you do. And we'll get into how you fit all of that into your daily life and daily routine. But the first question I always ask right from the beginning is, what was that journey like going from school to becoming a fashion and beauty editor of the Irish Daily Star?
I studied graphic design and fine art in college. So I came out from that angle. So I was studying fine art. I was going to be a fine art printmaker. And then during the summer holidays, I got a job in a design studio, being kind of the general office dog's body. And by the end of the summer, I was being trained up as a junior designer. So I kind of stuck with that rather than going back to the fine art.
Wow.
So that was the very end of the 90s. I worked for graphic media for 3 or 4 years. And then I went to Spain for a couple of years, where I worked on El Sol newspaper.
Oh,
I didn't even guess what what that was named after, but El Sol newspaper. Yeah. And Costa Life magazine. And then I came back here and got the job as senior designer in Asheville. And that's when I kind of specialized in magazine design and project management and doing a bit of writing and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's kind of come out of that.
Wow, interesting. That's brilliant. And so that's quite a journey as well.
Yeah, I'm still a layout designer. Like, I still do the layout for the magazine. I'd still do some of the layout on the paper, because we used to, inside the paper and the magazine, everything used to be a lot more lineated. It's like there was different departments for different things. And now it's a lot more, everybody does a bit of everything kind of thing. So, yeah, so I would do the artwork and I would do layout as well as doing the writing and editing and all that. So I don't get bored.
No. Say that. Well, yeah. Probably not got time to get bored at all, actually.
No, not much opportunity to get bored.
So, I mean, so it's interesting, actually, because I always find that journey quite interesting. Did you ever get involved in, like, the school newspaper or anything like that? Did you have anything like that?
What I wanted to be when I grew up, when I was a kid, was either a fashion designer or a newspaper editor or a magazine editor. So I haven't done too bad with that. But yeah, I had my first magazine when I was about 9. I still got pictures somewhere of me and my staff from from my first magazine when I was about 9. So yeah, I think I probably was always kind of destined to end up where I ended up.
That's brilliant. Who were you staff? Was that family members, like your little sister and stuff like that?
So my older sister, but I was the boss. So my older sister and one of the girls next door and one of the other girls from up the road. So it was the four of us. And it was initially called Mac, which is a crying shame. We never got the rights for that or painted that.
Yes.
Because we couldn't make a quid out of that. Because it was Michelle, Aoife and Kathy. And then we had Adele join us. So then it turned to Mace. So it was Michelle, Aoife, Kathy and Adele. So yeah.
Yeah.
So I suppose you could say my experience goes back probably 30 years if you count that.
Definitely, exactly. It was destiny, obviously. It was always going to be in there, totally. But I guess, I mean, that's obviously quite a long time as well. I mean, what's changed since then, apart from the obvious things like email, etc.? I mean, what's changed with regards to editing and your job in general?
Well, like it's weird to even think about it now. Like when we wanted information on something, you had to find a landline number, call somebody, ask them the questions, and then write down their answers. It's crazy to think that we used to have to go to that length to just to get information, but it's just so kind of at the end of our fingertips now. But yeah, it's stuff like that. It's how easy it is to get information on things now, how easy it is to like get pictures and all that. Like I was just thinking, in the design studio that I first started out in, when you wanted a stock picture, we had these big folders of CDs and the printouts of all the images that were on the CDs. And that's how you found the stock pic that you wanted to use. You flicked through this thing, physically flicked through it, and then found the CD that correlated with it and put that in and used that. Like, to think that like we used to go to those ads.
Oh, yeah.
And even the, like, Photoshop, obviously, like, I've been working with Photoshop for 20-something years. But like you used to, if you were saving a file, you'd do whatever you want to do with the file. And then when you were done with it, you'd hit save and then you'd go off for a walk or you'd go and make yourself a cup of tea because that thing was going to take at least 10, 15 minutes to save. And now everything's just like that. And your phone has got everything. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
Great, but crazy.
Yes, of course. And I guess it does. It gives you instant access to everything. But I guess there's probably other problems that you're constantly working all the time. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know whether you feel that.
There is that. Well, like, I think like with print media, like the internet obviously has not been a friend to the print media. Like everybody seems to kind of go, right, we're going to put all of our advertising spend on websites. And then that didn't really kind of work for them. And then companies just decided to stop advertising as much at all.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the best thing that ever happened to print publications, but we're still going.
No, yeah, totally. And do you handle the online as well as the within the print media, or is that given to somebody else?
Well, ours is like our online arm is buzz.ie. So I was trying to kind of get a chic presence on buzz.ie, but I just didn't have the time with like that's a job in itself.
Yeah.
So I was able to kind of get some stuff up, but it just wasn't something we were able to like keep up long term. And they have their own staff anyway for that kind of thing. It's just we wanted to kind of try and have an online presence for Chic as well. But we're only a team of three, so there's only so much we can do.
Yeah, of course. So is that your team then? You've got a team of three, have you?
Yeah, it's just the three of us. So it's Rachel Beresford, the editor. There's Naomi McElroy, which I don't know, like she's a character, so a lot of people know our Naomi. She does all of our interviews and all of our celebrity features. And then obviously I look after fashion, beauty, interiors, and the layout.
Wow. Well, that's what a great job, having an interview in all the celebrities. That's just an awesome job, isn't it? Blimey.
Yeah. She has a good crack with that, all right. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm jealous.
And writing celebrity features as well. Like, because since lockdown, there haven't been as many people available for interview because nobody's promoting their play or their new show or whatever else. So we've been kind of concentrating more on just kind of gossipy kind of celebrity features. And yeah, she's having a whale of a time with it.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, that's awesome. So that, I mean, that's interesting as well. So you've got a team of three. How have things changed? I mean, obviously the things have changed over the years, but with COVID, I mean, we've noticed a lot of changes. How have things changed personally for you and your team?
Well, a lot of places would be kind of well equipped for letting people work from home. And we'd be very flexible with people working home and stuff. But like, and I don't think the star would be alone in this. I think it's probably a newspaper, especially a tabloid newspaper kind of thing. Mm. Nobody works from home, because the whole thing is supposed to be, you've got a buzzing news floor. Everybody's able to, like, you know, shout questions across to each other. And like that atmosphere is part of like what makes a good newspaper and all that. So I was kind of shocked when we went from everybody in the office, everybody has to be in the office all the time. So like overnight, everybody's working remotely, and it's ticking along. There's been, touch wood, no major hiccups or any major problems, really. So everybody's just in their own houses doing their own thing.
Yeah,
like I said to you earlier, we try to have like group chats that the three of us, like we're on WhatsApp with each other constantly, obviously, but we try to kind of like meet up a couple of times just to see each other in person and kind of catch up with each other and stuff. So we've done that a few times as well. But
yeah,
it's all ticking along, shockingly enough. I thought there would be a lot more teething problems with it, but now everything seems to be going quite well. It's just boring, isn't it?
Yeah, well, totally. Yeah, blimey. I mean, that's the thing. People can certainly notice that you haven't spoken to someone for a little while when I'm like a little lapdog sometimes. Like, oh my God, just carry on talking, please. Brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I did meet the two girls off the team, like the last time, like I think we were having lunch and we were planning on being there for an hour, and we ended up like talking for 4.5. So you just had so much stuff that you needed to get out.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So it hasn't really affected the structure and the way that you do things generally as your daily role, or has that?
No, like the way we've got it set up is that like we're all logged in remotely to the system. So we're still on the same system. We're still on I'm still on the same system as the paper and all that. It's just I'm doing it through my Mac at home. And like say we're on WhatsApp with all the girls and everything. It's just little things like not being able to bounce ideas off each other. Sometimes you don't, it isn't big enough of a question that you're going to put it out to the group on WhatsApp. But if you're thinking out loud stuff, you're missing, aren't you? A chance to kind of get feedback on that off other people.
Yeah, right.
If that's the worst complaint that we can come out with, then that's not too bad.
No, exactly. You're doing all right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. But it's interesting. So that's interesting to understand your structure as well. So, I mean, how does it, you've got a team of three, how does it all work when you have a meeting? Who is it? Do you have to come up with all of the ideas, or is it a team effort, or how does that process work?
It's generally, so the editor and Naomi would come up with who they're going to write about, like what interviews they have lined up and what celebrity features they're going to do. But from my end, for the fashion, the beauty and the interiors, I'd be generally coming up with the ideas myself every week. It'd be once or twice now that I'd be completely blank and I might ask the girls if they got any ideas this week. But generally, no, just be me coming up with the idea and then running with it.
Wow, that's amazing. That's quite a lot, and that's quite a big remit as well to handle all of the you know, the beauty, the fashion and the interiors as well, all yourself. That's a lot to undertake.
It's a busy week. And as well, because we work to a weekly deadline, and it's weird sometimes when I do the odd shift on the paper because you forget how crazy it is to have a daily deadline, but a weekly deadline is tight enough as it is. So you don't really have any wriggle room. Like if they're on a monthly title, when I've worked on monthly magazines, you can have quieter weeks and crazier weeks towards the end when you're nearly publication and stuff. But when it's a weekly thing, it's just... every week is quite hectic.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm talking about pretty things, you know, there's a lot of worse things to be writing about, you know?
No, you're right, exactly. But that's a good question as well, of course, because you've got a daily, and you've got a weekly lead time. How do you manage that? I mean, what are the lead times for the weeklies? When do you go to print for the sheet?
So we go to print on a Friday for the magazine that's going to be out, not the next Saturday, but the following Saturday.
Okay.
So our lead time is essentially 8-9 days.
Wow, okay.
So, say for instance, next week I'll be working on our Halloween issue. So that'll be our October 24th issue. So I'll be working on that next week.
Yeah.
So that'll be the lead time on the magazine. And then on the paper, if it's anything that a brand wants to get in the following day into the paper, it kind of has to be in by 2 or 3. There's a daily conference for the paper where they decide what content goes into the paper. So if say a brand has an event on, or they want something that they want in the news section of the paper, if they want to get that in before 2 or 3 sent to the picture desk or whatever, then it can be included in conference and it might get in. But as far as like my fashion and beauty content for the paper, I work on it the previous week. So there's 3-4 days lead time then on that.
Okay.
So usually if a brand wants to get something in and it's a particular date they have in mind, I can usually either fit them between Chic, the paper, or worst case scenario, I'll put something up on Buzz. So I can usually accommodate whatever the timing is, but it, for their sake, it's probably easier if they want it in the magazine a week and a half beforehand, is great.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. And with regards to the process, as I was talking about before, I mean, because you've got such a huge remit, I guess, you know, for you to come up with ideas constantly, I'm wondering what the possibilities are for the brands to actually influence you to give you...
Well, that is the thing. I love it when a brand sends in something themed. Like at the start of the lockdown, DFS sent me a mailer with animal print sofas and all of that kind of stuff in a Tiger King themed thing.
Okay.
So I completely grabbed that as a theme and has a Tiger King themed interior page. So if any of the brands can see a trend, can see a theme in their latest campaign shots or their more their product shots, if they can see a theme, even if it's just like the color red, like Primark did that recently and I robbed that from my fashion pages. So thank you for that, Primark. So anything, if you see any kind of theme, then like make a folder with this, tag it all with that stuff and send out a mailer. And that makes my life an awful lot easier because I'll see that and go, perfect, that would do perfectly for fashion this week or for interiors or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if brands or PRs see something coming through, a theme or a trend or anything like that, then that's a great idea. Just to put it all together, tag it, and then send it as a mailer. It's great. And yeah, if they can come up with a punny headline, even better.
Even better, blimey. Yeah, the whole job's done, exactly. I guess anything that makes your life easier, it makes their life easier and gets them coverage as well. Everyone's a winner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like any kind of theme like that, like even like this week in interiors, it's, you know, the higgy kind of stuff, like cozy kind of stuff for making your home cozier for the winter and stuff like that. And I'm calling it The Snuggle Is Real. So any silly puns like that, yeah, send them at me because I'll take it as my own work and get the credit for it. So I'm all over it.
Yeah. That's brilliant. And again, with regards to the processes, I mean, if you see a trend that's happening, have you got certain brands that you particularly like that you will go to in order to see whether they're covering certain things, or how does it, you know, are you more influenced by the theme or the brand, or how does that work?
Well, like I will generally go on to PR shots at the start of the week when I'm trying to decide what I'm going to cover, because it's all well and good for me to kind of go, okay, I like navy velvet and I'm going to have a navy velvet interior page. And if I can't find pretty lifestyle style pictures to go with that, then that's just going to be a nightmare for me for the week. So I'll usually go on to PR shots, and there's a couple of people that do fantastic interiors shots. Next do great ones, DFS do great ones, Cult Furniture, Amara. So I'll go on there, and if I can find a couple of ones from there that fit the same theme, I'll generally try and kind of build it off that. So it's a great place to go to try and figure out what I am going to do for my themes for the week. And fashion is the same as well.
Okay, brilliant. Well, that's good. That's good to know. Yeah, I love all the brands that you're talking about there. So that's all good. So what actually, I'm continuing talking about PR shots now. What are the things that, is there anything A that you're looking for at the moment, or is there anything that, you know, brands, without naming them, do that you don't particularly like, or things that you want them to do that they don't necessarily do? That's about 3 questions there. Sorry, confusing the whole matter.
What was the first one again?
I can't remember what that was now. Actually, I've lost myself. But I guess, is there anything at the moment you're talking about?
Yes. Yes, I'm working on. So like I was saying, we are doing our Halloween issue for October 24th. So I'll be working on that kind of tomorrow and early next week. So I'll be doing a page of Halloween interiors. So it'll be all just fun decorations. I know that people aren't going to be, they're not allowed trick-or-treat this year and they're not allowed to go to parties and all that. But I still think families are going to like try and have a bit of crack at home and do up the houses and everything. So yeah, so interiors, so Halloween decorations and all that kind of thing. Costumes for all the family. And then in beauty, I'm going to do like makeup looks for Halloween and stuff. So if any of the brands have anything like that along those lines they want to lash across, fantastic. And then, so that'll be that week. And then we are working on our Christmas gift guides really early this year.
Yeah.
Because we've just... talking to everybody and like all of everybody's friends and stuff are all saying that they've gotten so many of their presents already bought and everybody seems to be just kind of going, now it's just a blowout. Let's just focus on Christmas.
Yeah.
Go gung-ho for Christmas. So we're looking at doing our gift guides kind of mid-November when we'd normally do them end November. And then do another gift guide then in December, which will be a bit more of a last-minute kind of one. So those would be the two big projects we're working on, the Halloween issue and then the Christmas gift guides. So yeah, like ideally either a Dropbox folder or a Pure Shots category with that and then an email saying this is where all of our Halloween or Christmas themed stuff is. Oh, we're doing as well, we're doing an 8-page pullout for Christmas interiors as well.
Okay.
So yeah, so I'm going all out on that. So all the decorations and the trees and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to do a couple of different themes and stuff like that within it. So if they want to send me over anything like that, I'll be working on that kind of the start of November.
Okay, brilliant. Excellent. And is there anything on PR Shots or, I mean, and actually equally both on PR Shots and just in general that PRs do that you, or don't do that you would like them to do?
Well, having the euro prices as well as the sterling prices is always great.
Yes.
Because obviously it just means that I don't have to chase after stuff. I got a big folder of like fabulous Christmas decorations and everything off a brand that I won't name there recently. And I was like, oh, this is fantastic. All these pictures are gorgeous and everything. And it was only then that I realized they didn't have any product info or any price at all. It was just the pictures. And so I'm definitely going to use some of them, but it's just an extra step for me to have to kind of chase after them.
Yeah.
So not sending high-res images and not giving euro prices as well as sterling prices. Those would just be a little bit, yeah, I'd rather that didn't happen as much. While I'm talking about the gift guides as well, the retransfers are great and I'm not dissing them or anything, but one of the things that can be a nightmare for, especially if we're working ahead of time, is you put all these emails into folders for the Christmas gift guide and then all the WeTransfer links have all expired.
No way, yeah.
So hence the reason why something like Dropbox or Pure Shots is better, because it just means that they'll still be there when I go to look for them a month later.
Yeah, totally. Okay. That's all good to know. Yeah, so totally.
Yeah.
So the prices are preferable, but not necessarily. If you're going to use it anyway, you'll ask the prices, I guess.
Yeah. I will chase after the prices and everything. It's just that, like, if I'm looking for something last minute, I won't go for something that doesn't have a price on it.
No.
I'll just put it in that does have the price. So just to make it more likely to get your things included would be to have both prices, preferably. And the campaign shots as well as product shots too are great.
Yes.
Because I would use both of them like on a weekly basis. I'd do, I've got a big fashion spread in the paper with like in beauty down the side. And so that's all gorgeous campaign imagery. And then my fashion in the magazine is usually cutouts and it's outfits put together and stuff like that. So I use both forms. So I know it's obviously more expensive for the brands to do two sets of shots, but it is really handy for us to have both and more likely to use as well.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting as well. Because what we noticed actually during lockdown was that there was a lot more call from editors for getting actual in-situ images rather than cutouts. And I'm assuming that's because people couldn't get out in order to put the images out there. So it's...
I was genuinely getting worried there for a while. There was like a few weeks there where like there was no new campaigns being shot. And you can understand that. You don't want anybody risking their health or anything. But there was nothing new being shot. And... like the 7 pages to fill every week, and there's only so much you can write about like lounge pants as well. So I was kind of going like, if this keeps continuing on, like we're going to be having fashion pages like with me wearing stuff that I've taken with my iPhone. Do you know what I mean? That we won't have any content to put in here.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems like things are kicking back up again now, I think.
Yeah.
I've gotten so many campaigns now for autumn, winter that I've gotten all that content lined up for weeks now. So that's great. That's a big relief.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. I found that quite an interesting period as well, because one of the big things is that there's a lot of PRs that were put on furlough during that period. And I was thinking... Yeah. The whole communication process, it was, you know, anybody that was still in the work could actually had their work cut out, because you just literally just needed to just send anything through. And I guess all the editors would be using anything because there was so little about. It's crazy.
And it was such a weird thing as well, because we were trying to kind of judge, like, obviously at the very start, it would have felt very strange to be doing features on, like, you know, going out dresses and things like that. So we were kind of going, okay, so everybody... loungewear is kind of where everybody's at, and pajamas and stuff. But then we were kind of like, okay, have we reached peak saturation of lounge pants yet? Are we like kind of able to go back to normal fashion again? So it was a relief when we were able to just go back.
Yeah.
I didn't get that either, like why so many viewers were put on furlough, because surely it's a job that like can be done remotely.
Yeah.
As much as mine could or anybody else's could. So it was a shame for brands to do that, but I suppose everybody's just looking at their money they're bringing in, I suppose.
The bottom line, yeah, exactly. I think everyone was quite unaware. So I think now, I think if anything was to happen again, I think the learnings are that actually these people will be kept on, because it makes absolute sense anyway.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's another interesting question as well, because actually some of the editors I've spoken to have said actually with some of the imagery, considering the circumstances, needs to be kind of more reflective of the times, without necessarily having people with masks for fashion shoots. But, you know, even just like crowds, for example, a big no-no because people can't do that. Is that something you're looking for as well? Are you looking for things to reflect the times, or does that not necessarily matter for you?
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought of that, but you're dead right. It actually does. Like any of the campaign stuff that I've done lately is one person or two people at a time. There's no big group shots anymore. I haven't actually even thought of that yet. I don't know whether brands doing shoots with masks and things like that, whether it's entirely necessary or not, you know, because in a way it kind of takes me out of something if I see a model in a campaign wearing a mask, because you're kind of going like, it makes you realize that things are not all normal as is.
Yeah.
And fashion is always supposed to be a fantasy anyway, you know? So yeah. I don't know that they necessarily need to kind of do include masks and all the shoots, but yeah, definitely. And just what people are buying as well at the moment, because people aren't, they're buying more staple pieces. They're spending more money on staple pieces, and they're spending less money on going out clothes, because where are you going out to?
Yeah.
So, I suppose like brands probably, their shoots should probably reflect that. Like, I'm looking forward to all the big campaign party shoots for like Christmas and everything. But at the moment, I'd say, yeah, just more staples.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's good. That's good to know. Yeah, that's brilliant. So that's good. Well, my question to you is, I guess, obviously, with the times changing, it's, you know, a lot of editors like to be schmoozed in the past. Perhaps, you know, wouldn't say there was like a necessary thing, but it's always nice to be taken out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I guess everything's changed now. I mean, how does someone schmooze you in the current circumstances? How does someone get you to notice them to get coverage?
Well, like the virtual events that we've had over the last couple of months, like some of them have been really fun. Like I think it's a good opportunity for like any kind of PR brand, or whatever, to like get a little bit creative for what they do for the virtual events, because you can just like dial into a webinar when they're telling you about a new product or anything like that. But we had, you know, Iceland, the shop around the country, Iceland did a cook-along thing with a chef. So they sent a load of editors, and this is our editor Rachel rather than myself, but they sent them out the food and they were cooking along while a chef told them what to do. And we had an afternoon tea thing. There was another brand where we painted canvases together. So there's definitely ways to kind of make what normally would have been a chance to show off the product and have everybody come in and the viewers get to like have a bit of a chat with everybody and stuff like that. We can't really do that, but there's ways to kind of make the events a bit more interactive and involve people a little bit more than just putting on a webinar.
Yes. Okay. Because do you like it? I mean, I know some editors have said to me that actually some people like it when they've actually kind of almost been researched, because it kind of massages their ego a little bit. But others are just like, it feels a bit creepy when they kind of know a little bit more about me than probably should.
Oh, I tell you the creepiest. Yeah, oh God, and I really hope the viewers behind us aren't listening. This is our previous fashion editor, Selena. They sent her a personalized snow globe. So, you know, so far, so fine and everything. But the pictures in the snow globe, the two pictures on it, were out of a personal folder on her Twitter. Okay. So they were like, they weren't pictures that were on her LinkedIn or any work-related things or anything like that. They were like off her personal Twitter. So, and they obviously thought that this would be a really thoughtful and personalized gift, and it was, but it was just creepy.
Yeah, wow.
And plus, Selena's kind of gone like, why do I want my own face on a snow globe anyway, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I could just imagine there should have been the music ding, 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 being played in the background or something. Yeah. It's quite creepy. Wow, that's madness.
Yeah, like, I don't mind, like obviously it's nice when a PR sends, like, hi, Michelle, and they are specifically pitching you something. But I also don't really mind, like, the group email, because I would use that when I'm sending out a features list to all my contacts, so... Yeah, I don't mind too much.
No, okay. What's the best pitch that you've ever had, if you can sort of remember when it's made you gone, now that's just amazing. They've got me. You had me at hello.
I don't know, actually. Like, you were asking me that before, and I really couldn't like think of anybody kind of offhand. Like I said, there's been a couple of nice pitches since kind of lockdown, which I thought were good because they were rolling with the punches, and like, you know, they were obviously kind of off the cuff. They couldn't have seen, planned it that advanced and stuff like that. But like, say, La Roche-Posay sent out a little personalized herb garden at the start of all this, and like it's branded and all that. So that sat on my balcony and kept the brand in my mind for all the beauty features that I worked on while I kept the herbs alive, which wasn't very long. And like I say, the DFS doing, coming up with the quirky kind of theme and the pun headline for me and all that kind of stuff. So stuff like that would work really well for me.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Now that's all good. That's all good. And what, I mean, with regards to the stuff that you're seeing with trends at the moment, is there any kind of, any things that you're predicting are going to happen, or do you kind of have space to predict that kind of stuff?
Well, like, as far as like the way we're all going to work, or do you mean fashion and beauty?
I mean both, actually. So it's good. It's open, because I was going to say, if you were going to answer the actual fashion and beauty, I was then going to say with the industry. So either and both.
Yeah, with the industry, I think we're all just going to have to get used to the fact that it's going to be virtual events, and it's going to be even like, you know, Zoom chats with like brands and things like that, and even like smaller Zoom chats as opposed to like big event webinars. Like if like pure brands wanted to just like have a chat with you like one-on-one, or a couple of people on a couple of people with the latest products or whatever, I think we're just gonna have to kind of adapt in that way, because we're all gonna be working from home to at least next spring. And even after that, workplaces are probably gonna have to be a bit more flexible once we're all back. So all of us being back 5 days a week in the office is probably unlikely.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of going to be the future of like how the media is going to work and how brands and PRs can deal with us and we'll deal with them for the foreseeable as all over Zoom and virtual and trying to get a bit creative about events and make them as interactive as possible and stuff like that. So that's what I'd say, like, as far as the industry is concerned. As far as fashion and beauty is concerned, like, fashion was, like, especially, like, with designer fashion, like, every designer was making, like, you know, four collections, at least four collections every year, and it was just kind of getting a bit out of control. So I think there's going to be a huge change now towards more sustainable stuff and people investing in things rather than fast fashion. Like, there's always going to be a place for fast fashion, but I think there's going to be a bit more of a trend towards more sustainable stuff, because if you spend 200 quid on a dress, you will rewear that and rewear that. It's not going to end up in a landfill after one wear. Yeah. Even if you don't wear it yourself, you're going to sell it on, or you're going to bring it to a charity shop or whatever. So I think that's going to be, on the sustainable front, that's definitely going to be something that's going to be bigger. And beauty will be the same too, like vegan, sustainable stuff. Like, all of that is big buzzwords this year.
Yeah.
And I think into next year, like, we'll be looking at all of the beauty brands, we'll be looking at reducing their plastic and reducing their waste and all that. So I think that's two things we'll be looking at now for next year.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, that's kind of moving with the times as well, especially the UK's Prime Minister has just said that they're actually looking at, without getting political, but they're looking into now actually becoming, you know, really sort of green and that kind of stuff. And it's interesting what you say there as well, because Linda Bell from Red and Prima actually said that regards to fashion, the way that she sees things, it's just like, it's expected now. It shouldn't even be a trend. It's actually, sustainability is something which she would almost expect. And if it isn't, she almost won't cover it.
Yeah, it's really important. And like, yeah, those would be the two, so sustainability and vegan stuff would be two kind of things that I'd be keeping an eye out, and we're always more likely to feature if it's something like that. And then it's small businesses as well, because you'd just be so worried about like every like small label and small boutique and all that, that all of this, like the effect that all of this is going to have on them. And all the big franchises are going to be fine, but like the smaller labels and the smaller brands, you want to try and make sure you feature them as much as possible so that like they get a bit more of a chance of hanging in there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's all good. Yeah, brilliant. And I guess one of my last questions is in the current circumstances, I guess with deadlines, how reliant are you on PR shots and another means?
Well, I wouldn't go a day where I wouldn't go on to PR shots for something, because I do the artwork as well. There isn't somebody on the art desk, the picture desk, getting pictures for me, so I'm getting my pictures for myself and all that. I would use it, like I say, most days, and I'd be so much more likely. I'm so much more likely to use something from a brand when I can just go onto viewer shots and they've got the high res pictures, they've got lifestyle pictures, they've got product shots, and they've got the prices for me. I'm much more likely to use that because there's no back and forth. I just literally go onto that one place, get the things that I need, and I'm able to go with it. So, I had no idea who Cult Furniture or Amara were before I started doing my interior page. And now they're on it most weeks because they're on viewer shots and I'm able to get their lovely lifestyle images from there. So yeah, I'd be lost without it.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. That's a good thumbs up then. That's No, we'll have that. Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, I guess, and it wasn't just really to kind of promote what we're doing, but it's, I guess, to just impress upon those that are listening that actually it's kind of like, and that those in the room now on the Zoom call now, you know, how much they need to upload stuff onto there as quick as possible, I guess. Because one of, and I don't know whether you feel this as well, but specifically, I guess, with PR shots, some of the feedback we get is, you know, when they don't put prices, of course, but also, I guess, old content or stuff that's not available at the moment. Is that something that's kind of...
Oh, yeah. I suppose because, once I do decide on a theme for either, like, fashion or interiors, that's one of the handy things for PR shots is that I can just search for the term. And then you end up finding all these fab images, and then you realize that they were uploaded in 2018 or whatever, so you can't use them anymore. So yeah, stuff like that. So to keep it curated would be great.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, that's good. And then I guess my final question is, I mean, I talked about it briefly, but if you can name three things that PRs do that is a big no-no for you, and three things that PRs do that are just big thumbs up, what would you...
Okay. Okay. So the three things, I'll start with the criticism first. PR sends out an email and then follows it up with another email that's like, I'm just checking to see that you got my last email. And you're like, there's nothing wrong with my email systems, but just assume that I did. Because yeah, like even if it's whatever it is, whether it's a product or it's a new campaign or whatever, I could easily be using it, but I'm not going to get back to everybody who I mention in the magazine and let them know, well, I took one of your pictures and it's one of the 20 pictures that are on the fashion page this week. I'm not going to get back to everyone that I do feature. And if I'm not going to feature it because I either don't have space or it isn't suitable or for whatever reason, I'm not going to go back and tell every PR that I'm not using that either.
Yes.
Kind of sending a few emails about the one thing is a bit of a no-no. Obviously, I actually got a few of them this week, which I thought was gas. There was one about a handbag range. I haven't heard the brand yet, but they sent me an email about this like exciting new handbag range. And I'm actually doing bags on this week's fashion anyway. So, but no pictures. No pictures. No high res. It's an email saying, tell me what the bags were like and how fabulous they were and everything. But like, no images at all. So that wouldn't be great. Because the problem is that I could email back and say, sorry, I might use them, I might not, I don't know, I kind of have to see what they looked like first.
Yeah.
And they can send me images back, but then they will come after me going, did you use that picture? And what if the handbags aren't nice?
Yeah. Okay.
If you are talking about a beauty product or a fashion line or anything visual at all,
yeah,
you need some sort of images.
You need to, totally, exactly.
Rather than just, you know, describing it in text.
Yeah.
And then obviously the euro prices. There's a particular makeup brand, again, won't name names, that has the wordiest press releases. Like we were talking about, you were scrolling three times and it's saying the same thing, just in more grandiose language every sentence, and like you're reading through it and you're trying to just get to the salient points because you just want to know that this mascara does this and the ingredients that are in it, and it's just pages and pages. So some sort of elevator pitch at the start of the email is always great, because then, you know, I can either just use that or else that'll just tell me what the content is immediately. And then obviously I can kind of read up more on it. But yeah, pages and pages of superlatives about that the product and everything isn't necessarily all that useful from my end.
Yeah.
I asked the two girls out at the office, Naomi and Rachel, I asked them like, before doing this, was there anything that they wanted to get in?
Yes.
One of the things that we kind of laugh about is for when stuff arrives from a PR agency, the balloon in the box. Okay. A lot of balloons in boxes.
Okay.
So I only got one quite recently. So it was a new product. So there was a couple of bottles, but what arrived was like a box this big. Big fragile across the side. So I'm coming up the stairs and this kind of going, what on earth is this? Like, I open it up and it's a balloon and two bottles of product at the bottom of the box. So that's not necessary. You don't need the balloons.
No, okay.
So balloons, and I have noticed a lot of PRs are doing a bang up job with it. But the sustainable packaging as well. Like, obviously, when they're sending out a product, they want to make sure that it arrives all in one piece and everything. But sometimes, again, you were getting like a giant, giant box and all of this like non-recyclable packaging and stuff, like, and like you feel terrible about it. Now, like I say, I've seen a lot recently where they have it marked all over, the like the little styrofoam balls that come in it, that they're all recyclable and everything. So that's something. But to make sure that it's not ruining our planet to send me two bottles of tan or whatever, you know?
I see.
That's and that's come from Rachel and Naomi.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's brilliant. Well, it is showing how much it's entering the psyche that it's actually, you know, it's a negative. So that's all good stuff. But actually, going back to your images as well, because that's an interesting point that Paula Moore brought up as well from Woman's Own. She was saying, actually, you know what? Even if you have the images in there, if you could actually include it within the body of the email itself, so you can see it before clicking into it, does that make a difference for you? Or is that not necessarily?
That's a great one. Ideally, like you can like embed or like just attach a couple of low reses of the pictures, and then, you know, link to images then at some point in the email. That's ideal.
Yeah. Okay.
Because like, again, going back to like WeTransfer when it first came in was like the height of technology. You were chuffed with this as a thing when it first came in. But the whole thing with it is half the time I don't know what I'm downloading.
Yeah.
So it could be a half a gig worth of space on my machine, and it could be not at all suitable for anything I'm working on. So at least if it's a Dropbox or if it's PureShots folder, I can just go in and see where the pictures are rather than downloading and clogging up loads of space on my demos.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Yeah. And again, actually coming back to your other point about getting to the point rather than it being a wordy piece of content.
Yeah.
I think it was Julie Player that was saying, actually, she quite likes it when the story, she's almost given a story to kind of, because it's a bit more creative, but at the end of the day, get to the point as well, rather than it being too much. So perhaps they're trying perhaps a bit too hard to create an
omni. Like from the story perspective, it is good when it's a new brand or something and there is like a story behind it. Like there was a brand that we had in beauty there recently, and it was boyfriend and girlfriend set up, and they started it, and then the lockdown hit, and they still managed to get it out there. So their story was kind of relevant to the products and stuff, but I think that only really matters when it's like a startup, really.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's good to know. So that's the three no nos. What are the three big thumbs up that brands do that you absolutely love?
And the big one is just big, gorgeous shoots. You know, like just really colorful, like I like would love like the high fashion kind of stuff, but unfortunately like the star or chic are not really pitched at that kind of audience. But just big colorful beautiful shoots, that's my the best thing about it. Like colorful is probably the big thing that I will go for whenever I'm looking to choose what pictures I'm going to use for the fashion spread in the paper. Because it's a small petty thing, but like, so magazines are printed on white paper, whereas newspapers are newsprint, so it's not actually white, it's grey. So the more colourful something is, if something isn't very colourful, it doesn't really work on the newspaper as well, because it doesn't bounce off the page. So the more colourful it is, the better it works in the newspaper.
Brilliant.
It's a big, beautiful image, first of all. Always having the two prices is fab. A little bit of elevator pitch, the bullet points, you know, love a good bullet point when it comes to condensing what exactly the message is that the mail is trying to get across. Like I say, coming up with themes, like both Pennies and Little Buds are both great at this. They'll make a folder with whatever the trend is, whatever the theme is, and then they'll send out a mailer with Little Woods, it's look of the week, and they'll have a folder with those themed images in it. And like I say, sometimes, some weeks, that just takes a load of work off my hands, because I can just go, right, well, there's a theme to do, that will do perfectly for that, and there's a folder already there with some pics to use. Yeah, so any themes or trends that brands see, if they want to like make a separate folder and a separate theme folder and send a mailer about it, perfect.
Brilliant. Excellent. Okay, perfect. And are there, I mean, you mentioned Penny's and Littlewood's there. Mm-hmm. Are there any brands that you absolutely love are there any brands that you absolutely love? And are there any brands that you love that you would love to get more information from?
Well, obviously, like Penny's and Littlewood's, I would have all the time. Littlewood's actually did an interesting thing that I thought this was going to end up being the way that photo shoots worked for the foreseeable. They, at the kind of early on lockdown, they had a collection with Michelle Keegan, one of her new collections.
Oh, wow.
And because it was right in the middle of lockdown, she obviously had a friend, whoever it was, take pictures. So it wasn't professionally shot, it wasn't professionally styled and everything. And I thought that was really interesting at the time, because I was kind of going like, oh, this is the future of like if we can't have photo shoots and we can't have a team of makeup artists and everything, this is the way fashion's going to look. But obviously then restrictions eased a little bit and we were able to kind of work around it. Yeah. Which it was obviously Young Penny, so both great, and I would use their content an awful lot. Topshop is an awkward one. Our KJ Group, who look after them, aren't very forthcoming. The problem seems to be that like staff changes, turnover changes so much. Like I basically, how many staff I've dealt with in Arcadia, you just deal with a different person every time, and you're not getting regular emails off them, press emails off them at all. So you could see a gorgeous campaign on their site, and then you could have to go through three different emails that are all bouncing back at you saying this person doesn't work here anymore.
Yeah.
Before you find somebody in Arcadia who will send you out the high res. So yeah, it's not ideal for that kind of thing. I can't think of anybody now that I would like to see. Well, I suppose Topshop would be great. It would be very handy. And even like Zara and Inditech that look after Zara, they're a bit better. They were better for getting high-res images off them. But if they were on something like Pure Shots, it would be easy to search for them.
Yeah.
And if I'm doing a fashion spread on like beige, then at least their images are coming up for that rather than me separately having to go onto their website and search for it. So that would be great.
Okay, brilliant. That's all good. That's all good news as well. And do you know what? You mentioned now, I completely forgot to even ask in the whole excitement of everything. What is the actual demographic or the ABC for the Daily Star and obviously then for Chic?
Right. So for the Daily Star, and I'm not sure, entirely sure I believe this, but it's 40-50% or 40-60% in favour of men. I would definitely have thought the readership of the Star was a lot more male-based, but the official figures are that it's 60-40 in favour of men.
Oh, wow.
Now, my content obviously is aimed at the female readers anyway. But yeah, there's and then for Chic, we are 90% women, and I know that because I actually have all the statistics off our like socials.
Wow.
So 90% women, 10% men, and it's 25-44 leaning towards the latter half of that, so like 30-44. So that's what Chic is kind of aimed at. And like there's probably like a slight difference in tone for the paper versus the magazine. The paper is a little bit more, the copy needs to be a little bit more flashy, and then Chic is a little bit more aimed at women.
Okay, brilliant. No. Okay. Well, I guess. And what is the readership? I thought there's about 250,000 actually for Chic magazine. Is that right? Or is that's probably increased now, I don't think. Is it? Because that was a little while ago.
I'm actually not sure what the daily figures are now. But like at one point we were 80,000 on a Saturday. So that's just like the number of copies sold now. Yeah. That's not like readership or circulation, right? I don't know what we're down to now, though, like post kind of COVID and everything. But like we have a strong readership. Like, the magazine, the numbers of the paper sell during the week is always a big boost at the weekend because of the magazine. So we're happy with that.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Excellent. And that's, I mean, I don't know. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Obviously, you'd have other colleagues that had their points to make as well. Is there anything that you'd like to add?
Yeah. Do they have anything else to say? I'm trying to think. I don't want to forget anything and get told afterwards. No, it was like, Naomi is particularly eco-warrior. So yeah, hers point was definitely the recycling. But yeah, I think I've covered everything. But yeah, it just, for the Halloween stuff next week, if anybody wants to send me anything for that, if anybody listening doesn't have me on their press list, they can add michelle.martin@thestar.ie. And any gift guidey stuff, any Christmas led stuff and everything, we've got an email address as well as me. So I look after the fashion, beauty and interior, the homeware kind of gifts. And then Naomi looks after the kind of more generic his, hers, kids kind of gifts. So if anybody has any content they want to go into the gift guide, if they send it to me, but also christmas@thestar.ie as well.
I want to thank you so much for your time. And and if you need anything, just let us know. And yeah, I want to thank those that have joined us for this call as well. So brilliant. But thank you very much for your time. And yeah, I wish you a great Halloween. I hope you get lots of content for Halloween and a great Christmas.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. So if you like that discussion and you'd like to be alerted of future interviews with lifestyle editors, just make sure that you hit that subscribe button. And if you liked it and want to receive a breakdown of tips from all of the editors included within this series and many more, and be entered into a prize draw to win a £50 Amazon voucher, please leave a review within the Apple Podcast app, take a screenshot and send it to us at info@prshots.com and you'll be entered. This is brought to you by me, Nick Osborne, with us, Press Area and PR Shots, experts in helping PRs and brands gain coverage.